Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Some of you may have seen the advertisements through McDonald's Happy Toys, Happy Meal toys, and or commercials on TV that Zootopia 2 is out in theaters. Now, since I'm in the Disney Plus stage of parenthood, I have seen the first movie, give or take, about 73 times, last time I counted. And so if you plan on taking your children or your grandchildren, you just want to see it yourself, let me give you a brief overview of the franchise. Zootopia is about a world made of animals where predators and prey live together in harmony. Judy Hopps is a small bunny from Bunnyboro who has a dream. Her dream is to travel to the big city of Zootopia, a symbol of diversity and unity between predators and prey. And she wants to become a police officer. As a young bunny, Judy shares her dream with her parents, but they do not share her enthusiasm for becoming a police officer. As a young bunny, they're afraid and scared for her safety and well-being on the force. So they don't want her to get hurt, especially because of her size. From their fear and worry, this is what they say to respond to the dream she shares with them. They say to her, "It's important to have dreams, just as long as you don't believe them too much." Fear has a way of keeping us from believing in big dreams. The what ifs can overwhelm us into settling, and settling hard for something less than we desire. This is the story of Joseph. Before they were married, before they lived together, Joseph noticed that Mary was pregnant, and he was certainly not the father. The text states that Joseph was a righteous man, meaning he lived in accordance with God's ways and commandments. He understood the Torah and the prophets, and it appeared that he was a good man who tried to live by those words. He is polite, trying to do what is right here. If Joseph were to dismiss her publicly, there would be serious life-threatening consequences for Mary, and clearly, because of his compassion, he wanted her to be safe. However, we must remember that at this time, to be a single mother with a child was a nightmare. Under Roman rule, a rigid hierarchy made life dangerous for many people. Joseph even found himself near the bottom of that ladder. However, the only two groups that were lower than he are women and children. A single woman with a child was a nightmare in this patriarchal community. And since a man held some privilege and protections simply for his gender, a single woman with a child was left defenseless and easy for others to take advantage of. So we must be clear here that Joseph has some privilege. If he stays with Mary to protect her and this child, he does risk losing that privilege by breaking from what is expected of men. He could meet the same fate as Mary. He could be an outcast, accused of having a child before marriage, or by forgiving Mary, thereby endorsing this scandalous behavior. In the text, we learn that he is having difficulty falling asleep. And to calm his worried thoughts, he decides to make his mind up. It appears to be the polite thing to do, but also is a selfish decision intended to preserve his own status, his own safety, his own privilege. He is resolved to let her face her fate quietly. You see, Joseph can turn away, and nothing happens. Mary cannot. His resolve, his decision, his choice create for Mary a situation that would put her and her baby at risk. Joseph is righteous. He knows the Torah and understands the prophetic word. We even get the sense that he cares about the well-being of women, yet he does not go far enough. It is fear that keeps him from staying with Mary and the child. It is privilege that gives him a way out, and he's resolved to take it. You see, we all carry some privilege. We have name recognition, some wealth, some treasured expertise or knowledge. We have some title that people put up high, like doctor or reverend. Culturally, some of our privileges are from no effort on our part because of our gender, our age, or because of the people who give us butterflies in our stomachs or the level of melanin that provides the hue of our skin. We are given access to things others are denied, questioned, or politicized. People don't like to give that up. Every year, and I'm not seeing him here right now, might be outside, Michael and I walk around Fairfield County Fair together. And so we were walking this year by the RVs on Fair Avenue and Columbus Street, and I made this brief comment. I asked him, how early do you think people had to get here to get these spots right next to the action? And Michael told me what most of you probably know, that those spots are highly, highly prized, that some are even passed down through generations. And so once you got that spot and you've seized that opportunity, you are not going to give that up very easily. No one wants to give up a good parking spot. Why would you give up the convenience and the accessibility of that location? Why would you choose that? And with that, we must ask, why would Joseph risk everything when he doesn't have to? No one wants to be taken less seriously or worse, rejected or suspected by friends, family, or other authorities. Joseph can turn away, and many of us can too. We can turn away. We can make up our minds and keep our safety, our comfort, and our way of life, shirking from God's call. We can turn our back on the Marys of the world and turn our back on the thing that God is birthing in our community, who is God with us. One of the greatest privileges we may hold these days is in our wallet or our purses. And it's not cash, it's not a credit card, it's not your health insurance, but rather it is a federal ID. We have been sold a lie. It is a lie backed up by numbers and countless witnesses, by families and neighbors over this nation. According to Deportation Data Project, among the arrests made by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, from January to October, only 30% of those arrested had prior convictions. Among those prior convictions, only 7% involved violent offenses, and the remaining 30% involved traffic violations. Yet, violent conviction is the reason people are being rounded up and deported, and as we saw this week, present in central Ohio. If the reason for insisting on terror and fear in thousands upon thousands of violent criminals, but 93% of the time they get it wrong, you're either incompetent, an ill-advised leader, or it's a lie. Those with a dream to live in America who have been forced to flee north because of American policy and intervention now engage with daily terror outside of their schools, gas stations, and in their own homes. That federal ID, that citizenship, that privilege many of us carry allows us to look the other way. Others can't turn away. Others must live in fear and terror. And so this Christmas season, we focus on Mary and her child. Joseph can turn away, and he is resolved to do it. However, God sends an angel and a dream. You see, dreams are powerful things. Isn't it incredible that God gives us minds that can dream beyond the limits of this world and the boundaries it places? Minds that can imagine with God, what if, what could be, what is possible when we not only read the stories in Scripture, but we join that story with God. Joseph has a dream. Do not be afraid. Mary will have a son who will save his people from sin. The dream is of a God who is with us, who will save God's people, save the Marys, save the Josephs, even save the Herods from sin. God's people are dreamers and have long dreamed it. It is a dream of a time when predator and prey, wolf and lamb, will lie down with one another. A time when tools of war, guns and warships and drones are melted and reformed into tractors, combines and harvesters. A time when border walls crumble, everyone has a place to call home, and no one will make anyone afraid. It is a dream in good news shared with the poor, the hungry and the sick who are cared for. From King David through Jeremiah, Micah, Isaiah, from the stump of Jesse, this dream is of a Messiah that will rule with justice, peace, and righteousness. Authority will rest on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Parent, Prince of Peace. It is the dream, the hope of the kingdom of God, not in heaven, not somewhere else, but it is a kingdom of God on earth where all are welcome, especially refugees and those from other nations. A dream that the Word will be made flesh, human, and God's love would live among us and with us and through us. Because of Jesus, that dream is alive. And it looks a lot like the dream Martin Luther King Jr. had, when the boundaries of race would fall and we could come together as siblings. It looks a lot like Oscar Romero's dream, restoring the dignity and tending to the needs of the poor. And I would say we even dreamt it in the famous words that all men are created equal. And once you experience a piece of that dream, we have to believe it with everything we have. We must let that dream guide us, and above else, to keep us from turning the other way. Some of us can turn the other way, away from neighbors who are snatched from their way of life. But on Christmas, we are compelled by a little child in a manger, the Messiah, God's anointed, who lives out that dream where all have dignity, worth, and the right not to be afraid. God's dream instilled in this tiny child outshines any fear Joseph may have. It's worth the risk. It's worth letting go of or using privilege to preserve himself, but instead using it to empower and protect Mary and God's son. I want to end with a story about someone in this congregation. I will not name them. I'm going to keep them a mystery. But I do want to share this story. They were working one cold January day when, as they were driving, they saw a woman lying in an alley, not moving. Her dog was standing right by her side. And this person got out of their vehicle. They walked down that alley to check on her condition. The leash of her dog got tangled in her legs, causing her to fall, injuring her hip, and immobilizing her in the cold. This person gave her a coat for warmth, called the paramedics to help, and then waited by her side until the paramedics could arrive and put her safely in the vehicle. Now, this person could have stayed in the car, but they got out. They could have called the paramedics and left. They didn't. They chose to be with the person in pain until they were safe. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife. Do we believe in God's dream? Will we turn away, especially when we can, or will we stay? Will we be compelled by a dream so loving and compassionate that it's worth our lives to follow? Will we dream with Elizabeth and Mary, with Joseph, a world where God is with us and saves us from sin of hate and terror? Will we live that dream in these days, in the alleyways, at international grocery stores, outside schools, so that we may realize God's dream and God's hope, peace, joy, and love will be born? Amen. Amen.